Good morning. I wish to greet you all in the name of Jesus this morning. It's good to be here. As has been noted, it's a what I'll call a typical July Sunday. Sunshine, harvest. Harvest crew around, so some strange faces sitting here. But I want to welcome you. It's good to have you here. Appreciated what Dan shared in his devotional reading of that story. And I'll get to that and make some more comments about that chapter in a little bit. But first, just an article I want to share with you here, entitled The Meaning of Worship. And I don't remember what I was going to give the book name, but I forget. Proper references for this article, but I forget what it is, and I failed to write it down. But it's someone's definition of a meaning of worship. Before I read that article, they point out something. This day of rest, Sunday, a day of rest and worship, day of a church service. You know, here in this country, we men come to expect 2 days off every week, when in reality, for most of the world, for most of history, actually the way God set it up, 6 days shalt thou labor. We live in a privileged country. The fact that for most of us, 5 days at one grind and then a Saturday to relax and a Sunday to start the week with, that's more normal. It's what we consider normal. But for those of you in the ag community, there's competitors, there's other farmers, there's other workers who will be stirring around and making a dust here, probably have already started. But for those of you who have idled your equipment for today, your presence here today in this public house of worship demonstrates for yourself, for the world, your priorities. And that I guess brings me to the title that I have here. I don't know if this message or talk or these thoughts are yeah, I would title this priorities, or possibly practical priorities. But one of the things you've plugged into your schedule is your presence here. So that's why I would want to read this little article on the meaning of worship. I think I'll just read it. It's fairly short here. Worship that is accepted by God is a privilege unique to the Christian. It is not a right. I am permitted to offer acceptable worship only by the grace of God. Therefore, it is disheartening when children of God deliberately reject this privilege and wantonly absent themselves from the public assembly God has ordained for His glory and our good. Consider briefly the significance of worship. And then there's a list of about 10 or 12 bullet points here. So the significance of worship, or this is specifically referring to public worship. It is obedience to a divine command. Worship is a means of nourishing the spirit. It assists in achieving spiritual growth. It encourages others in their spiritual development. It shows the world where my priorities are. It is one means of expressing my love for God. Worship is an avenue God has provided by which I can praise His name. It is the offering of spiritual sacrifices. It is a way of showing my thanksgiving to God for all He has done for me. It is a period of communion with God with the world shut out. It is an experience that should make the heart of every Christian glad. I found that little list intriguing. In fact, I read it several times. And in that list, one of those things was the demonstration of your priorities to the outside world, to the rest of the world. So today, for the remaining time here, I would like to look at some practical priorities. Practical priorities and I'm going to be focusing on three groups of people here today. I didn't spend a lot of time putting these together, but youth. Practical priorities for youth. We'll call you the 12 to 25 year olds. For parents, the 25 to 50 year olds, and for grandparents, the 50 and above. We'll kind of look at those three different groups of people and talk just a little bit about the priorities of those groups. Before that, we're going to go into some definitions of priorities, what that is, as well as turn to and look at some biblical examples of that. And that brings me to this story in Luke that Brother Dan read. It's a familiar enough story. We would hardly need to read it, but I kind of wanted to have it in the background, refreshed in your minds. But I will admit that as I sat and listened, as Dan read that, my mind probably picked up other things because of what I was thinking about. But in the three men highlighted, the two boys and the father, you could see they had priorities. They had things that were pretty important to them. The son that left, he had priorities, and then after a while they changed. He had seen enough of pigs, and his priorities shifted. The story kind of ends with that elder son kind of still in need of some rearranging. This subject today, another thing I was going to say here, priority, this is one of these words that you don't even really find in the Bible. And I realize last Sunday, Brother John Smoker was here and he preached about another word that's hardly a biblical term, accountability. And I kind of admire John for tackling that accountability word, because to me that was a frustrating one. That was an entirely puzzling word. Just the way our English language works, we now have accountability groups in place of rules. Let's have accountability groups, and that one is just completely humorous to me. I tend to think about it in this realm, and that is when you get a, if you borrow money, get a loan to buy a pickup. I'd like you to try to explain to a banker how you want to just have accountability and no rules. You miss the payment, and all of a sudden accountability becomes all about the rules. But anyway, this thing of priorities, it's not quite that fuzzy. I don't think priorities is really a word that we have a struggle with an exact definition for. Priorities is a very simple word, and it simply is a, well, let me get to you, the Webster's dictionary definition. It's kind of clean. It's clear cut. It's a Priority is the quality or state of coming before another in time, importance, or rank, or an order of preference based on urgency or importance. So just what it, the other way of saying, we could ask, what are your priorities? Or the other way of saying that is, what, just this simple question, what is important to you? Let's look at, we've referred a little bit here to the Luke 15, those men and their priorities. There's another one that I would have, and actually this is probably where I started thinking about this and this subject, this lesson. But I recently finished reading the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. I'd like you to think about Nehemiah with me for a little bit here. I'm not going to turn there and read. Well, you just need to read the entire book of Nehemiah, but it's 13 chapters, and we don't have that much time. But we know that story. Nehemiah, it's a man who is an important man. He had a very high level, kind of last line of defense, top-notch security, you would call it, for the king of Persia. How long he was there serving for that king, I don't know. But one day Nehemiah got a bellyache, is what finally the king said, noted that, look, you're not yourself, you're not feeling good. What's going on? You're not sick, but your countenance, your face. Now, it happened to be that about 13 years before that, Ezra had left Persia and went to Jerusalem, went back to Israel. Now, Ezra was a scribe. Ezra had gone back and was apparently involved in the religious side, the teaching, you should, we need to, sacrifices, and, you know, all of those things. And there were some Jews there, but they weren't very organized. Jerusalem didn't have a wall around it. You couldn't hardly be a city without without some protection from the outside. Nehemiah wanted to see that happen. He wanted to see Jerusalem become a safe place for these people to worship. You could say that for him to get to the state he was in that king's court, he had to have a goal. He had to pay attention to what was around him to be in that position. But you might say that for Nehemiah, some priorities shifted, and it became even more important than just pleasing this king. He was thinking about a project, something else that he really should be doing. He wanted to be doing it. But how can one man do it alone? He was in a position Haley's Bible Handbook describes Nehemiah this way. You know, into this time comes Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man of prayer, patriotism, action, courage, perseverance. He spent 4 months in prayer before he went to the king for permission to go. Nehemiah was a man that God was able to rearrange his priorities. I just want to point that out. Another one, Luke 10. Adult Sunday school lesson will get here pretty soon. Luke, I'm going to read four verses here, five. another snapshot, a biblical little tiny story, and again a familiar story. I'm going to read it, and I'd like you to listen to the, think about the priorities here. Now it came to pass, this is Luke 10, 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Two sisters in a house. Two sisters in a house and a project. Two sisters in a house, and then the lodging committee just tapped them, and they had something they needed to do. Take care of this person. Jesus had something to say about priorities. All right, a little bit more heading to the practical side. You and your priorities. Or, I could call it, me and my priorities. It's accepted, and almost goes without saying, that you have priorities. You are living by, or living out, your priorities. Whether you want them or not, you don't even get to choose that. Something is at the top of your list of important things to do. Now, the next stage, you, if you're normal, think that you have your priorities straight. I mean, who doesn't? Who would intentionally have their priorities mixed up? That's illogical. You know which one should be at the top. You know which one is at the top, you think. Another question about your priorities. When will it be known? When will it be known if your priorities were correct? If you had them straight? Now, none of us like the idea of living thinking that our priorities are mixed up, but when will you know for sure that you had them dialed in just right? Or will you? Do you get to know that? Is that something that you can tell at 2:30 this afternoon is when we'll reach a point in time when I'll be able to say, yes, I had my priorities straight? Next week? Next year? How about when your youngest child turns 18? Is that when you can heave a sigh of relief and say, yes, I must have had my priorities straight? I was thinking about this matter of priorities and reading a news article this week. And the news article had to do with President Donald Trump in Europe. And somebody made a snarky remark about Donald Trump's mother. You know, he was, I forget what. Had something to do, I didn't go back and research the article, but had something to do with Donald Trump and manners and what did his mother teach him was what came out. And all of a sudden I realized, thinking about this, that you know what? In some ways, you could say that, well, potentially, that it's still yet to be determined whether Donald Trump's mother had her priorities straight. I don't know that. Time might tell the tale. Time might reveal whether your priorities are straight, but if it doesn't, eternity will. So how do priorities work? In a simple statement here, I would say priorities. Kind of a very simple format would be set goal, then prioritize. So as a Christian, before we go into the different age groups, there is what should be a priority for you as a Christian? Or rather, probably better be termed, what should be a priority of you as a member of the human race? If we start there. Well, Christianity, following God, finding God, that should be our goal. You see, through Bible study, through reading the Scriptures, through understanding understanding what God has, God's plan for man, we understand that we're created beings. We are not our own. There's a judgment coming when we will be called into account. We will be asked to give account for how we lived. And at the time of judgment, there's two options. You'll either hear "well done" or "depart." Two ways. And so, accepting God's plan, you could call heaven, you could call eternity with God the prize, the goal. Set that as a goal for everyone. Doesn't matter your age, your stage, where you're from, where you're headed. But if you set heaven, set eternity with God as the goal, that sheds some light on how you should prioritize how things line up and what is more important for me to be doing. So these three categories. So with that for an overarching premise, starting from the point of talking to Christians, talking to people who have made the decision, who have prioritized heaven as a goal, prioritized eternity with God, said, "That is my goal." And there's other things. And these, the rest of life, the rest of, with that priority in place, with that goal in place, it affects the rest of our lives. Person to person, look up and down these benches, and you're all different people. You're all different. You all face a different set of circumstances. There's things that are common to everyone, yes, but there are other things that are different. And so, for one person to stand and say this, thus, and thus, and so, this is what your priority list should look like. If you're hoping that I was going to give you six bullet points for each age group, I'm afraid you're going to be disappointed, because I don't think it's necessarily in my place to do that. But there are some principles, and I'd like to read you a few verses here. Start with the youth, young people, a time of life that's lots of fun. A time of life that has got a life's ahead of you. There's all kinds of places we could go, things we could do. What are your priorities? Well, if you're going to get much done, if you're going to go very far, you really need some money in your pocket. That goes almost without saying, and it actually does. In the New Testament, in the Bible, the Apostle Paul said this: "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto you. We preached unto you the word, the gospel of God." He said, "We were there preaching, but we also worked. We were trying not to be a burden." And so, young people, I think it's perfectly fine for you to think about that and not be a burden. Carry your own weight in the world. Work. Go ahead, 6 days a week. Some overtime will be okay. And part of the, there's another, I think this may be somewhat out of context, but bear the yoke in your youth. That may have been pointed at a young minister, but I think there's a principle there that while you're young, while you don't have the responsibilities, it's good for you to work. It's good for you to be productive, to not be chargeable. You have a job. Social, youth and social life. What about that? How big a priority, where should that be on your priority list? Well, the way I notice things, there's softball games, there's volleyball games, there's youth. We'll socialize. A bad thing? No, I don't think so. That's your time of life. 1 Timothy 5:14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. A project. It's not to be apologized for. In fact, yeah, my wife and daughter are gone today over this thing of, well, they went to Joyce, last year's school teacher's wedding this weekend. No, we didn't go as a family. Why? I guess that maintaining the social, the social life didn't rate quite as high with me as it did with them. But it's fine. Go do that. It's important. Another one for youth. Service. Work for the good. Work for the good of the group. We're short of deaconesses around here. Just thought I'd throw that out. Something that we see in the New Testament. I don't know what all that meant then, but anyway, let you kick that one around. On to the next group, parents. How would you list your priorities? Youth, you can go ahead and stay tuned because bullet point number two here. You get dragged back into. But parents, how would you rate your priorities? If you were to sit down and write out the top five things that I'm trying to get done this month, this year, while I'm alive, let's say, what would that list look like? Well, obviously, not much happens on an empty stomach. We're going to have to work. We're going to have to keep working, providing for your own. You don't want to land in that list as worse than an infidel. What about teaching? Now, the youth didn't get teaching others didn't land in this list for the youth, but is it a priority to you? And I guess this one obviously is my age group. To teach and pass on the faith. I think that should rate up there close to the top. And I've asked myself this question. I guess this is why I'll drag the youth back into this. Because I asked a hypothetical question to my daughter. She's not here, so she doesn't have to squirm this morning, but in this matter of passing on the faith, in this matter of teaching the next generation, in this matter of teaching a church, let's say, back to that thing of priorities and how do you know when you have been successful. I think this thing of teaching, we hardly know that one either. We can teach. We can teach, we can train, but what are the results? I cited Donald Trump's mother. I don't know if she lives yet or not. I think some of the same thing that goes on here in this matter of teaching, passing on the faith. When will I ever be allowed to know if I'm successful in this or not? Because humans have choice and there's always the danger of falling. I think we can know if we're unsuccessful, but I don't know that we can be sure that we have been successful. Go back to the solid points of the scripture. Right and wrong. What is sin? What is not? There are varying applications group to group, but there's some things that are not negotiable. We know that. Actually, quite a few of those. But take the simple one of adultery. If you read the verses in Revelation, there's no question. Leaving of one's marriage partner and marrying another constitutes adultery. Won't receive the prize. That's just how that's how that is. Can I get that across to my children? Can I get that across strongly enough that it affects their children? I'd like some pointers on how. But I think it needs to be in our list of priorities. Another one, parents, serve God and your fellow man. just simply that. A life of service. That's, incidentally, the opposite of selfishness. Avoid discouragement. Resist the devil. Those two might even be the same thing. Be sober. This is 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist in the faith? Whom resist steadfast in the faith? Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Resisting the devil needs to be a goal. It has to be a targeted purpose, or we probably won't make the priority list. Grandparents, what does your list look like? I don't know. Now I'm batting way out of my league. You're probably in a stage of life where providing for your own needs takes less of your time. You may have enough. What about teaching? What about your faithful example? Those things are invaluable. I think faithful old people, faithful old men are a real boon, are indeed a help. John 13:35, jumping on to another one here. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Demonstrate. Demonstrate that love. Demonstrate the love of God. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That one is often tossed off at the youth. But I don't find that is age related or age specific. I think that's one that needs to be guarded. Be noted. So to all of us, in closing, there's some more verses that have come up. What should we be doing? Matthew 6:33, in the Sermon on the Mount, word in red, and again, this applies to all these age groups in looking at your priorities. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now that verse is kind of taken out of a series or a section of verses. Jesus is talking about things, about money, about various things. But he hauls these people back and says, "But seek ye first." And that's a pretty... Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Set heaven as your prize. Set heaven as your goal. Put this one at the top of your priority list, and these other things will be added unto you. Another thing to everyone to put into this priority list. Put on charity. We didn't talk much about that, about love. And above all these things, this is Colossians 3:14 and 15, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called, in one body. Put that one in your priority, in your list somewhere. Galatians 6, 7 to 10 is what I'm going to read here in closing. Starts out negatively. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. And that this passage is used often for, someone that's making a bad decision. But I'd like you to listen as I read these four verses. It starts out that way, it's true. Be not deceived. But it's a four-verse pack here, and it actually moves into the positive, into things that we are to be doing. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He's just establishing a premise here, sowing and reaping. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Think about your goals. Think about your priorities. You are the one that gets to rearrange them. You get to set them. No one else can do that for you. So I challenge you to think about it. Don't tell yourself stories about what they are. Probably a good thing would be to check in the rearview mirror. Look at your life. Look at what you've been doing and how it's been working out. I think a lot of times the rearview mirror in these kind of discussions, the rearview mirror demonstrates your priorities. You've been getting done what you really wanted to get done. And by extension, the rearview mirror also tells you something about your goals. So go on to work this week. Have a good work week. Think about work hard. Think about your goals. Let's have a closing song.